Good morning. I remember as a child standing at one of the windows of our home, standing there looking out, probably had a candy bar in my hand, wrapper already torn off of it, just waiting for that last bit of the sun to dip down below the horizon. And there I was, gotten through another day of atonement. And it's probably safe to say that at that moment, I never thought I'd be up here saying that the Day of Atonement has become my favorite holy day. As I look back over the years at some of the mistakes that I've made and the trials I went through, some of the challenges that I've faced, and as I look ahead knowing that there are going to be more rough times ahead, to me it's a real blessing to know and understand the meaning of the Day of Atonement and all that it pictures. And just knowing that someday Satan will be taken completely out of the equation, well, that's a real blessing, and that's very exciting. Have you ever wondered how much easier our life would have been if God had placed the Day of Atonement at the beginning of His Holy Day plan instead of near the end? But He didn't. And so as we've been called to come out of this world, we know that we're going to continue to struggle living in this world. And we all do. We all struggle with it. And some of us struggle more than others. But we all suffer through trials. We've lost family. We've lost friends. Some of us have lost jobs. We've been made fun of. We've been called names. And we're viewed as different. And some people think we're even strange for what we believe. We've missed out on playing sports or maybe a school dance that's fallen on the Sabbath. And now these are just things that might be considered minor compared to what some people have gone through. As a church, we've suffered. We've suffered pain. Again, we've suffered loss. And in some cases, at some times, in other places of the world, we've even suffered persecution. But that's the life we've been called to. Jesus tells us in Luke that we are to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross. We've been called to be a living sacrifice. So we know as Christians, in this way of life, we're going to have trials. But why is that? If you would, look over in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. It says, strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So here's the why. Our trials, our suffering, are there to strengthen us, to help us make it to our final goal, which is the kingdom of God. God allows us to face obstacles to strengthen us, to make us stronger. You know, sometimes struggling is just what we need. It's exactly what we need to help us, to keep us from being crippled by the world that's around us. I wanted to share an illustration of that with you. You can all see this okay? See what this is? This is a butterfly. It's a very pretty butterfly. And this is the butterfly after his change. So I want you to think of this as us after our change, once we reach our spirit life, our potential. This is where we started. This is a little caterpillar. I want you to think of this as us before our calling. So, before we're called, our potential. So where are we now? Right now we're somewhere in between. This is the cocoon. This is where I want to focus. It's in this cocoon where everything takes place. All the change, all the struggle, all the trials. And what goes on in here and how one comes through this will determine whether or not you move on to your change. Within the cocoon, the caterpillar goes through a physical metamorphosis to become the butterfly. For us, it's a place of spiritual metamorphosis. It's where we'll build our character. It's where we'll build strength of character. And it's only through great struggle that we, or the butterfly, can move on to its next stage of life. See, the butterfly has to struggle with everything that it has to release itself from the cocoon. The struggle is great. The struggle is exhausting. And it's also completely necessary. And if it's not completed to its fullest, there's no life. It will not continue as a butterfly. Picture yourself walking in your yard through the park, and you look over and you see a butterfly struggling to get out of its cocoon. Now, knowing me and the way that I am, I would eventually feel sorry for that butterfly. And if I didn't know any better, after a few minutes, I'd probably want to try to help him out. And I might reach over and with my fingers and peel the cocoon back just a little bit to help him get out of his cocoon, out of his problems, his struggle. But you know what? If I did that, the butterfly would die. There are several results that are produced within the butterfly from that great struggle from his cocoon. The first is that all the struggle slims his body down so that he can fly. The second is it strengthens the wings and also slims them down and lightens them, again, so he can fly. The third thing that happens is it pushes blood and other body fluids in through the wings, which again strengthens the wings, lightens the wings, and is also necessary for flight. And if the struggle is not completed, then these three things cannot happen fully, and the butterfly dies. His body will not adjust to being outside the cocoon, and then within a matter of moments, he will die. And that's how it works with us. You know, when I go through a trial, I'm usually not looking for the lesson in it. I'm praying and asking for a quick solution to it. I just want out of it. But that's how God works with us. He does not always deliver us quickly from our trials. God understands that our struggles are necessary for our health spiritually. You see, if the struggle is not complete and the lessons are not learned, then the growth in character won't be there. And if I have not achieved the character that I am required to have, then I won't be ready for my change. Okay, so hopefully that helped you understand a little bit why we go through trials. But that, you know, when you're going through a trial, I'm not thinking you're going to look back on this and feel like that brings a whole lot of comfort. So I wanted to give you a couple of scriptures that you can turn to and look at during the time of trial that may help comfort you with that. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. First Peter 5, verse 7 says, now I want you to remember, in Peter's time, the persecution on the church was getting worse. And there was a lot of worry and anxiety going on in the church at that time. So 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, it's important to understand that God cares for you. And I've noticed at home at times, if you want to get a little bit more out of a scripture, you get a better understanding of it, it helps to look at other translations. So what I did was I copied down a couple other translations that I wanted to read to you, all from 1 Peter 5, verse 7. This is from the Amplified Bible, and it says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So we see here that God is affectionate. And He cares for you and He watches over you. Same verse from the Living Bible. Let Him have all your worries and cares, for He is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. And He's not just watching you, but He's watching everything that concerns you. Everything that comes into contact with you, God is watching. Now, I like this one here. This is from the J.B. Phillips New Testament version. It says, you can throw the whole weight of all your anxieties upon Him, for you are His personal concern. Now, when you're going through a trial and you get a card or a phone call from somebody at church, that helps. It's touching. It makes you feel better. But how about knowing that God the Father and Jesus Christ are personally concerned about you and that they are watching over you affectionately? I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, I want to turn just to one more scripture. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, what's interesting, I thought was interesting about this, is that there's a footnote in the Nelson Study Bible that said that this quote is one of the most emphatic statements of the New Testament. And in the Greek, it contains two double negatives. And in the English, it would read more like this. For He Himself has said, I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. So, brethren, no matter how tough the trial that you're going through, how long it might take, how alone you may feel, just remember these things. One, that the trial is necessary. It's necessary to strengthen your character and to help you make it to the kingdom of God. And remember, too, that God is personally concerned for you and affectionately watching over you. And no matter how alone you may feel, He will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. Have a great Sabbath.